But right now I'm very happy to welcome back to our program Medea Benjamin. Medea, as I said, is co-founder of Code Pink Women for Peace and also Global Exchange. Medea's book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, has been an important tool to educate a growing number of Americans about the danger inherent in the U.S. government's drone warfare program. And I should note here at the outset, Medea, it was announced this week, is the recipient of the 2014 Gandhi Peace Award, which will be presented to her in New Haven by the group Promoting Enduring Peace on April 16th. Congratulations to you, Medea.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited about that award.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you up here in our neck of the woods in April. But, of course, tonight we wanted to focus some attention on the Obama administration's plan that considers assassinating a suspected terrorist, they say, a U.S. citizen now living in Pakistan. Hey, Medea, there's a lot of background noise. I'm not sure if there's a place that's a little quieter.
Yes, I will move on
okay.
Right now.
Okay, no, that sounds a lot better. But, yeah, I just wanted you to comment on this latest report of Obama administration plan that's being talked about in the press, killing a U.S. citizen in Pakistan, this after four other U.S. citizens have been killed in recent years.
Yes, I think it's horrible that the U.S. even contemplates killing U.S. citizens with drone attacks. It means that people like the one being contemplated killing have not even been charged, and the U.S. government says that it would be too difficult to try to capture this person, and yet it's hard to know if that is really true, because so many people have been killed in these drone strikes that could have been captured. And it is important to talk about individual U.S. citizens, but I think it's important, Scott, that we put it in the context of this larger drone program of killing people that are non-U.S. citizens. And I think that, according to international law, they all deserve the right to be able to surrender. You can't surrender to a drone. They should be charged, and if feasible, should be captured. And there is supposed to be some public acknowledgement of efforts that have been made or why it's impossible to capture somebody. And the U.S. has not been doing that at all with this drone program.
Medea, does the public's attention to the possibility the U.S. government may be on the verge of assassinating a U.S. citizen, is that somehow an opening to challenge these policies, not just for U.S. citizens, as you said, but for all the other innocent victims that are killed in these drone strikes?
Yes, I think it's a time for us to try to dialogue going in the American public about what drone assassinations are all about and how it is such a distortion of the rule of law. If you look at the rule of law, Scott, it says that there has to be an imminent danger, which means that there is an attack about to happen. I don't think the U.S. government could say that this American citizen is about to do something to kill other Americans. It's more that they might, and we don't know when, we don't know how, they might be involved. And that's not what an imminent attack is all about. And I think it is important to try to keep finding these ways that we can get the discussion going among the American public about what if another country was doing this to us? What if the Russians were using a drone to kill perhaps a very evil Russian citizen who was living in the United States? Would we allow that to happen? No, we wouldn't allow it. And so why should other countries allow that to happen? Pakistanis, whether it's a U.S. citizen or not, have been saying that they are against the drone program, from the prime minister to the legislature to the Pakistani people in every single poll that's been taken, and that yet the U.S. ignores the wishes and the sovereignty of other nations.
Medea, there's been some pushback on President Obama's announcement back on May 23rd that he was going to reform, restrain, and make more transparent the U.S. drone warfare program, you've got a Republican Congressman, Mike Rogers of Michigan, who's lambasting the Obama administration for not killing every terrorist on their list, including this alleged terrorist, the U.S. citizen in Pakistan. He says it endangers American lives. Now we have this pushback. What do you make of that in terms of the growing opposition and scrutiny that the U.S. drone program is coming under?
We have been partially successful in our opposition to the drone program and forcing the Obama administration to acknowledge that this program exists, because for years they refused to even say that there was a drone program. And then in saying publicly that they would make every effort to make sure that innocent people were not killed in the process. The number of drone strikes has been going down, which is a positive thing. The number of civilians killed in the drone strikes has been going down, but it's not good enough. For example, there was a drone killing of a wedding party in December in Yemen that killed 14 people and injured many more, when the U.S. government agencies mistook a group of trucks and cars going to a wedding for an al-Qaeda convoy. So we are making some headway. We have to counter the people like Mike Rogers, who would want to go back to the days of drone strikes every 3 or 4 days, killing of lots of innocent people. And that pressure is on President Obama from the right. We have to counter it from people who uphold the rule of law to continue to push the Obama administration, not to just to curb the number of drone strikes, but to stop them.
We're speaking with Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink Women for Peace. She's the author of the book,
Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control.
There it is. Thank you, Medea. Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control. We'll give the website for that book in just a few moments. Medea, in terms of the drone strikes, one thing that's disturbing to you and many opponents of the U.S. drone warfare program is the fact that the inner circle of the White House, the president in particular, turns out to be the judge, jury, and executioner in terms of who lives and who dies under the reign of these drone missiles and bombs. That means any future president will obviously have the same power. How important is it that this whole program is reformed and the power, the concentrated power, be challenged before another president takes office?
Well, I think one of the scariest things to me in researching the drone program has been the lack of oversight from Congress. We are supposed to have checks and balances in this country, and the legislative branch is an important check on executive power. That's why the Founding Fathers made the legislative branch the one that's supposed to declare war, because it was so much easier for one individual to get angry and say, okay, I'm going to go to war. And yet, because Obama is a Democrat, the Democratic Party, and especially the progressives within the Democratic Party, who would normally play the role of our allies in this, have been incredibly silent, with the exception of just a few of them. And so it means that the executive has been able to usurp the power of the legislature. The legislature has gone along with this. We have people like Dianne Feinstein in the Intelligence Committee that thinks that this program is just fine. And so it is very scary. And for those people who continue to put their faith in President Obama and say, well, he's a good guy, I trust what he's doing, as you implied, Scott, what happens when this amazing power of life and death is now given into the hands of the next president and the next president? And what happens when there are drones that have been okayed to be flying in U.S. airspace, which is going to be coming by next year, and those drones start to be weaponized, and they have the ability to kill people right here in the United States with the press of a button? I think we better be very concerned about it now, because this is otherwise our future.
Medea, just a final question for you here, and that is, you have long maintained that the drone warfare program is dangerous for a number of reasons, but in particular, you believe that the drone warfare is a recruitment tool for terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda. How can you convey that to our listeners about the numbers of terrorists or the numbers of people in places like Pakistan and Yemen who join terrorist groups as a result of their family members and friends being killed by drone strikes?
Well, first, look, that this has been the number one way that the administration has been countering Al-Qaeda. So we've been doing it for 10 years now. Have we eliminated Al-Qaeda? No, we haven't. You can just, like I did, listen to the testimony of the heads of our intelligence communities who have said that Al-Qaeda has expanded. So it's now not just in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Yemen, but also in North and West Africa, in Syria, in Iraq. And one of the recruiting tools is the drone strikes. And we have had people tell me personally in the travels that I do overseas that every time there is a drone strike, for every one person killed, another dozen or more will join an extremist group to seek revenge. So we have not eliminated Al-Qaeda with this program. We have only caused it to morph and to expand to other countries. And let's just look at the facts on the ground and say, if what we have been doing for 10 years hasn't worked, isn't it time to try something else?
Well, one quick additional question, and please leave our listeners with the website for the new book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control. But the question often comes up, if not drones, how would the United States Armed Forces, the CIA, and the Pentagon, how would they contain terrorists that threaten the country?
So let me take the last question first, which is that there's many different ways. One is to treat terrorist acts as criminal activities that would lead to arrests and trials and convictions. The other thing is to put a lot more of our energy into things like negotiations, peace talks, alliance building, work with other countries to build up their abilities to respond to terrorism through rehabilitation centers, putting some of the vast money we've been spending on these drones and other military means into things like better education in countries like Pakistan so people wouldn't go to madrasas and be taught to hate, strengthening women's groups. Women's empowerment is probably one of the best things we can do to counter extremism. So there's lots of things that we could and should be doing. And people can go to the website of codepink.org to find and order a copy of Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, and join us in what is becoming a very successful campaign to stop this barbaric policy of extrajudicial killings and try to get our government back on track of obeying international law and our own constitution.
Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts on drones with us this evening, Medea, and congratulations again on the Gandhi Peace Award that you'll be receiving in New Haven in April. But I'll also refer people to your most recent article, The Dangerous Seduction of Drones, which I think they can read on counterpunch.org, right?
That's right, and thank you so much for having me on. The great work you do and the great work that Community Radio does to inform people about what's really going on in the world. Appreciate it, Scott.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Bye-bye. That's Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink Women for Peace and Global Exchange, and the author of the book Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control.